Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Open Door Baptist Church. We all please stand and we get started with a little quick worship song this morning.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing come? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
This morning, you all bow your heads. We open up the word of prayer. Dear Lord God, I thank you that you have sent your son Jesus to us, to this earth, God, to be the sacrifice, to shed his blood for our sins, that one day when the bridegroom cometh, our robes will be white, God. And thanks only to this blood of your son Jesus, and I thank you for that, Lord. And I ask anointing of your Holy Spirit to be upon our worship to service this morning. Upon the songs that we sing, God, I pray that we bring glory and honor to your name in everything that we say and do. And be with Pastor Larry as he brings your word to supporting. Speak powerfully through the anointing of your Holy Spirit. I thank you all for that. I thank you for that in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated very quickly. I'm just not going to take long. In your bulletin, you will find a flyer for Thanksgiving baskets. And if you would like to put somebody's name in, for a Thanksgiving basket, we ask that you'd fill this out and you would drop it in the offering plate as it goes by. But very specific, we have to have this information. We need the name and the number of the person you are sending it to. So we need their name and their telephone number and address. It's very important that we have that information. We also need your name and telephone number in case we can't find them or get a hold of them. So please fill this out, but please fill out all the information. If we don't have the correct information, they may not get the basket, okay? Also in your bulletin, don't forget youth group tonight at 5 o'clock. Also immediately following today's worship service, there will be about a 15-minute mission team meeting. If you're a part of the mission team, or you think you'd like to be part of the mission team, we'd ask that you would please stay after church. It'll be downstairs immediately following service in the fellowship hall. So please plan there if you're on a mission team to go to that. Also, don't forget Wednesday night prayer meeting, community breakfast this weekend, Saturday, October 25th. So we need to be there at 7:30 to help get things ready. We'll start serving shortly, before 8 o'clock, usually we're serving people. So if you can help with that, we greatly appreciate it. As we know that Pam and Kevin are not with us, they are somewhere in the middle of the ocean cruising right now between Greece and Malta. So pray for them, all right? They don't run into any storms. You'll get
Wasn't Paul shipwrecked on Malta?
Yeah. Paul was shipwrecked, uh-huh. and something else happened to Paul on Malta.
Good about being between Malta.
Yeah, they. Paul was also snake bit. Yeah, no, right. So, don't forget our fall fellowship dinner. This is Sunday, October 26th. That's next Sunday. This not today, but next Sunday coming. So please plan to attend this. The fall fellowship dinner has been, it's new. It is actually the old birthday dinner. So they changed that. So plan to attend that. And I think that's all I got, right?
All right,
thank you. What's that? Oh, I did forget shoebox. Don't forget your shoebox. There's still some left back on the right in the sanctuary, in the foyer there, by the stand over there. So get these, and it tells you when they're due in a bulletin. They are due on the 16th of November. All right, there you go. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Larry. Y'all, please stand.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I worship Your holy name. The sun. Yes, I will worship your holy name.
Amen. Praise God this morning. You know, Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11 says, therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every name should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father God. Amen.
Above all powers, above all
Psalm chapter 86, verses 8 through 9, the Bible says that there is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All of the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, you shall glorify, and they shall glorify your name.
God, we worship you, O Prince of Peace, for that is what I love to do. So I will give you praise for all your righteousness. Lord, as we stop to consider how blessed we truly are, Lord, how much you have showed up in our lives. Father, that you're ever present, that we can call out on your name at any moment, at any time. And your word says that you hear us. And as Barb said on Wednesday night, I can't understand that he would hear me. But that's what your word says, so it has to be true. So, Lord, we lift this praise to you with hearts filled with love, with hearts filled with just a desire to know you more intimately, deeply. So, Father, we just pray that this worship is pleasing to you, Lord, and that you would receive it from hearts that love you and that thank you from the very depths of their hearts. Lord, that we love you. We love you. We love you. And thank you for loving us. And, Father, now as we can give back a portion of what you've given to us, another act of worship, Lord, you give to us, and then we give back to you out of that bounty. Lord, we ask that you bless both the gift and the giver, and that these gifts would be used to the furtherance of your kingdom. And as we continue past that into worship and the hearing of your word, Lord, I pray and ask that you would forgive me of my sin. There will be nothing that stand between me and you, Lord, that I would be able to be a vessel which you would choose to use this day to bring forth your word. And Lord, that through this word, we will grow in a greater security in our relationship with you. Lord, be glorified. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome. Good morning. You're a great-looking crowd this morning. Well, there's one or two of you that I can see. Steve, what are you smiling about? You need to go sit by Avery. Where's Avery? Avery can't stop smiling either. We tried to cure that, didn't we? We told Avery she couldn't smile like that. We're Baptists. We're not allowed to do that. She said, but I can't stop. Good problem to have, amen. What'd you say?
Can't do it,
Mommy. You're eating, yeah. Right? If you have your Bibles, open them up to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14. All right? And I've entitled this sermon, Don't Let Faith Sink. Don't Let Faith Sink. So continuing on in our series of popular Bible stories this morning, we will set sail on the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus was walking on the water. But before we talk about this account of Jesus walking on the water, I want to step back into this day in the life of Jesus and his disciples, where Jesus and the disciples had spent the day with what the Bible says in Matthew 14, 21, some 5,000 men plus women and children. Now, if you all remember, that was last week, and keeping in mind that it is presumed that Jesus taught upwards of 15 to 20,000 people, and then he miraculously fed them all with a small boy's lunch and bread and fish, right? With the bread and fish of this small boy's lunch. You all heard the story. If you're not, you want me to preach next week's over?
Last week's.
Well, maybe I want to preach again next week. Anyways. So after Jesus taught and fed all these people, Matthew 14, 22 says this, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Remember, this was also called the Sea of Tiberias. Before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Meanwhile, Jesus went off by himself. He sends them away, and then Jesus goes off by himself to pray. And this is where we will pick up the account of today's scripture. So turn with me to Matthew 14, beginning in verse 24. Matthew chapter 14, verse 24 through 32. It reads as this, "But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It's a ghost.' And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' So he said, 'Come.' And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got in the boat, the wind ceased. Peace came, right? So here we have the disciples in a storm, struggling against the wind and the waves, and Jesus shows up on the scene here. And the first thing that I want to point out this morning is that the disciples were, point number one, S. They were S. They were struggling in the storm. So Matthew tells us in verse 24 that the boat that the disciples were in was being tossed about because the wind was contrary. Now, in the text, that the word contrary there actually means that the wind was hostile. The wind was blowing directly against them. It was blowing them in the face, per se, all right? It was hostile, and it was blowing directly at them. And in Mark's account of this story, Mark chapter 6, verse 48, Mark says that the disciples were straining at rowing. Now, that word straining used there by Mark literally means that the disciples were experiencing torment. They were experiencing suffering, and they were in pain, and they fought to control the oars and the hostile wind, right? They were struggling, massive difficulty. So the disciples were in a fierce storm, and they were struggling to control the boat, and they were struggling in the storm. Now, here in the Upper High Valley, we experience storms from time to time, right? Amen? Now, they may not be on the magnitude of a hurricane or even a tornado, but we do experience storms, and sometimes the storms can be strong. Sometimes they can be fatal, actually. If you remember back in 2004, after, I forget what the hurricane was, but the higher river all the way up and down this valley, as far as you could go up and as far as you could go down, the valley was destroyed. I mean, absolutely destroyed, right? So we have to understand what storms can do and how fierce storms can be. But this storm in our text here today was on the Sea of Galilee. Now, has anyone ever been on a lake when it started to storm? Anybody ever been on? Yeah, see a couple. How about an ocean? Anybody ever been on an ocean when it started to storm? Yeah. Well, I was out on the ocean one time on a fishing boat when a storm blew in. We was on vacation. It was me and my brother Kenny and a couple of others, and we went out to go on a fishing trip down to Myrtle Beach out on the ocean, right? And let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you something. A storm blew up. It was scary. It really was scary. The waves were high and getting higher. They were crashing against the boat, and the boat was rocking back and forth, and it was bobbing up and down and up and down. And Larry went about 9 times. I was the famous one on the boat. Everybody remembers me, right? It was horrible. It was absolutely horrible. Now, a storm on land can be scary. But a storm out in the middle of a lake or out in the sea or out in the ocean can raise the fears of even the toughest of individuals. It really can. So that's where the disciples are. Out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, several miles off the shore, on a boat in the middle of the night. And verse 25 says this. It says that it was about the fourth watch of the night, so it would have been somewhere between 3 o'clock a.m. and 6 a.m., right? Therefore, it was dark. It was storming. The storm was fierce, right? Just get it in your head, what's going on there. Now, maybe none of you have been out on a lake or in the dark in the middle of a storm, but I guarantee you that every single one of you here this morning have been in a storm in your lives. Now, I'm not talking about the thunder, lightning kind of storms. I'm talking about those times in your life when, just like the disciples, you're in the middle of something bigger than you are. Anybody? Yeah, now all the hands are going up, right? Something fierce and something scary is taking place in your life. And it's possible that some of you are in that storm right now, right? And I'm talking about the storms in your lives that affect your families. Y'all know what I'm talking about. F- Family problems. There's nothing worse than family problems. It's just the worst, right? Family problems seem to be that one area that, quite honestly, affects all of us to our very core. Some of it leaves some deep wounds and some deep scars. Amen. And for instance, parents, what happens to the core of your lives, parents, one of your kids is struggling or your kids get into some sort of trouble? Does it not affect you? Does it not get to you? Or husbands and or wives, what happens when you don't love that person anymore that you vowed to love until death do us part? Or how about the death of a family member, a spouse or a parent or even a child? You know, I cannot even begin to imagine the loss of a child, yet some of you in this sanctuary today, that has happened to you, unfortunately. You've lost a child. Well, to say the least, right, to say the least about that, that these things are painful, right? Some of them are more painful than others, but some of them hurt. They all hurt. These things are painful, and we struggle sometimes to go on. And sometimes we don't know who or where to turn, right? We don't know what to do, right? But we just keep on rowing along. We just keep rowing through life. We just try to keep one step in front of the other. We keep rowing along, fighting, try to keep our heads above water, right? Sometimes that's all we can do is just barely keep our heads above water, right? Or what about those storms that affect your health? You know, health problems. Not knowing what will happen next no one wants to be sick. Amen. Anybody in here desire to be sick? Anybody here desire to go to a doctor's tomorrow and get a bad diagnosis? None of us do, right? No one wants a bad health diagnosis. Or what about when someone that you love is sick? Right? Some of us have done that through our parents or through our children or whatever it may be. But someone that you love is sick. They get a diagnosis and it's bad. That affects us. And truthfully, sometimes that affects us more than the person who's sick. Sometimes the person who's sick handles it better than we do. Or how about the storms that affect your fellowship with other believers? Anybody ever here been hurt by another Christian? You know, some of the times in my life when I have been at my lowest point in my faith is times when I have broken fellowship with another believer for whatever reason it may be. It affects me. And every time that has happened, I have lost nights and nights of sleep, tossing and turning until I went and resolved the matter as the best as I could anyways. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Every single person in this place has experienced storms in their lives, or experienced storms in their lives, or will experience storms in their lives.
Hey, everyone. This is Isaac editing the sermon here. The church lost power about here in the video, so there's like 5 to 10 minutes of the sermon missing. So I apologize for the inconvenience there, but I hope you enjoy the rest of the service.
What we first need to realize is we don't have any control over it anyways. That's where we go. We don't have any control over it anyways. But I would much rather be in a storm while sitting in the center of God's will than be out of God's will wondering where he is. Amen? Listen to what James says. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, right? My brethren, count it joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Listen, in the midst of your storm, count it joy. Yeah, Pastor, you're out of your mind. I didn't say that. James said that. In the midst of your storm, count it joy. That's a rough one, right? That's a rough one, isn't it? Count it joy. Now, let me tell you why James says that before you start throwing tomatoes, right? It is because in our storms, God teaches us to be consistent in our faith. In the storms of our life, God teaches us to be consistent in our faith. He doesn't say we should enjoy suffering. He didn't say count it joy for the trial. He said in it. There's a difference, right? He doesn't say we should enjoy suffering. Instead, he is telling us to rejoice in what the trials produce. Look what's going to come out of this trial that is in your life. It doesn't mean that we deny the pain that we're going through. You can't do that, right? The trial is real. The pain is real. The fear is real, right? So we can't deny all that. Rather, even in our pain and in our suffering, listen, we can have a deep, steady joy because we trust. We trust what God is doing through the difficulty. There's something for you in the difficulty. And God's trying to teach you this. Understand, in the storms is where God teaches us to trust Him, to exercise our faith, to put it into action. Because James goes on to say in chapter 1, verse 6, he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Right? James says that. Now I want you to think about that for a second. Isn't that exactly where the disciples were? Is that not exactly where they were? Driven by the sea and being tossed by the waves, experiencing turmoil, being afraid, being scared, because they got their eyes fixed on the storm and couldn't recognize that Jesus was there to carry them through the storm. Understand this, God wants us to trust Him. That's just very basic. But you know what? It's a problem for many, many Christians. I'm not talking about non-believers. I'm talking about Christians. God wants us to trust Him fully. Not only when we are receiving the blessings, not when everything's going good, not only when everything is rainbows and unicorns, right? But also when we are in the midst of the deepest, darkest, hardest times of our lives in the storm. That's when He wants us to latch hold. That's when He wants our faith to rise up. Do you understand, believer? You're a believer. Just raise your hand. Say, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. Listen, you're not alone. You have what is called, who is called, the Holy Spirit that lives within you. So no matter where you're at or what you're going through, listen, in the deepest, darkest, hardest of times in your lives, He's there. We got to remember that. We have to recognize that. But do you know what happens all too often, though? You know what happens? Human nature. Anybody here not human? Human nature happens. And we default to fear over faith. Pastor, has that ever happened to you? I don't know, Steve, when you came to my house, did it happen to me? It's hard. Because you get to looking around instead of who is with you. Look, watch. We default to fear over faith, and then instead of looking at Jesus, we get our eyes fixed on the storm, and then doubt begins to bring inconsistency in our faith. We get afraid. We're human. We default to that in our humanism. We default. We get afraid, and we begin to sink in anxiety. We begin to sink in fear. We begin to sink in doubt, stress. And then we can't recognize Jesus. When we get down into that place, we can't recognize Jesus. And then even when Jesus is in our midst, He seems to be distant from us. The most distance that I've ever seen, the strongest Christians I know, the most time I've ever seen them distance from God is when they were going through a trial, a storm. So when you're not sure where Jesus is in your life, this is the whole sermon in this one little text right here. When you're not sure where Jesus is in your life, that is when doubt is present. When you're not sure where Jesus is in your life, that is when doubt is present. When you're not sure that you're filled with the Holy Spirit, that is when doubt is present in your life. And where there is doubt, watch, where there is doubt, fear always abounds. Now, I don't know why, but it seems we always default there. It just seems like a natural human react. We just naturally default there. is that we always go to fear, which leads me to point number three, which is N. Know Jesus, no fear. Know Jesus, no fear. So at this point, the disciples are afraid, right? Verse 26, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out for fear. So let me ask this. Have you ever been afraid? Anybody here ever been afraid? I mean, really afraid? Not like I'm afraid of snakes kind of afraid. I'm not talking about that kind of afraid. But afraid internally to your core. Afraid internally to your soul that something is really bad is going to happen. Like something life-changing is going to happen to you. You feel it. And you get to get this fear. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I can look around here and I can tell you. I know there's a couple people know what I'm talking about. Listen, Donna has told her testimony many times. If you don't know Donna, that one's my wife right here. She tells of a time in her life when she was afraid. And I remember this time in her life, I really do. And I can remember her laying in bed at night, crying, not being able to sleep, lying awake all night long, tossing and turning and crying. She was worrying and wondering what would happen to her eternally if she died. Well, that thought was something that haunted her like a ghost. Night after night after night after night, it was a fear in her soul. It was a fear down in her core. Now, to be clear about this, that was before she was saved. Now she goes to bed in 30 seconds. Oh, I meant. That was before she was saved. She did not know Jesus. All she knew was fear, and it affected It affected her very being. It affected her to the core, to her soul. And I would have to guess that there are some of you here this morning who all too well know that fear as well. You understand what I'm talking about. And like Donna did back then, she knew some about Jesus. Maybe you know some about Jesus, but you don't really know him personally. You don't know him spiritually. And the fact is, if you don't know Jesus, then fear is all that is left. That's the truth. If you don't know Jesus, then fear is all that is really left. Uncertainty, lack of peace. Because in your mind and in your heart and even in your soul, there is a storm that will not quit. And let me say that again, because some of you were there. In your mind and in your heart and even in your soul, there's a storm that will not quit. And that fear is the doubt of your eternal destiny. Because you know in your heart that Jesus is not there. You know about him here, but he's not here. I preached a sermon many, many years ago that many people miss heaven by about 18 inches. Pretty close, isn't it? You know about him here, but you don't know him in here. Therefore, the only thing you truly know is fear, because you know in your heart Jesus isn't there. But there's great news for you today. Point number four, K. Know Jesus, no fear. Know this truth. To know Jesus spiritually, personally, right, is the only way to live our lives with no fear. Now watch. Notice what Peter does. Verse 28. Look what Peter does. "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Now look, there's faith right there. That's faith. There's faith. Because Peter knows that if this is Jesus, if this is really him, if this is Jesus, that he too, that he, Peter, would also be able to walk on water as well. So let me ask this. How many times in your life have you been in the midst of a storm and Jesus shows up on the scene? I have. Many times. Have you? Anybody here? You've been in the middle of a storm, and Jesus showed up in that storm for you. Yes? 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 And you say, Lord, if it is you, then make this happen or make that happen, do this or do that. Now, I want you to notice something. Notice something. You're going to say, yeah, well, I see that, but I want you to notice it. I want you to notice something. Peter is the only one in the boat to speak up. He was the only one in the boat to speak up and say anything. And Peter wanted to know. Here's what Peter wanted to know. Should I be afraid? That's what he's really. Should I be afraid? And Jesus said, verse 29, come. Peter asked him, if it is you, Lord, bid me. And Jesus says, come. Let me just say to this, wow. Wow. What a statement. I'm really telling you, what a statement. It's only one word, but oh, what a powerful word it is. It is a powerful word. And something I found interesting as I studied this text this week is that in other parts of the Bible, when Christ spoke to one individual, he would always call out their name. For instance, Lazarus, come forth. Zacchaeus, come down. You get my picture there? You see what I'm saying? But Jesus did not say, Peter, come. Instead, the word, one word, come. And that word come that Jesus used here is the same word used in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, where Jesus says, come to me, come to me. All you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So when Jesus said this to Peter, when he said, come, this was an open invitation to anyone who was on the boat, to all of them. It was an invitation to every one of them. Yes, Peter asked for the invitation, but Christ gave it to all of them. That's the word that is used there. It's used. He gave it to all of them, but notice only one person responded. Verse 29, and when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But verse 30, but when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out saying, Lord, save me. He says, come. And Peter walks out and he ends up looking around, starts sinking. He says, Lord, save me. So first of all, you have to see that the boat was where the fear started. It was in the boat was where the fear started, right? The disciples were in a storm inside that boat, and they were afraid it was going to sink. So Christ was giving them all an opportunity to get out of the boat and come to him. And coming to him meant a place of security. It meant a place of salvation. It meant a place that they know they would be secure. So he said, come. And listen, that's the same invitation that Jesus gives today, some 2,000 years later. It's exactly the same word. Come. All. It's an all-inclusive invitation. And just like he was telling the disciples, Jesus tells us, come. He's telling you and I today, come. Get out of the boat. Get out of that thing that's holding you down. Get out of that fear that's got you bent, held back, right? That's pushing your faith down. Get out of the boat, that place that is holding you in fear. Get out of there. Get out of the storm that is tossing you about, that place that keeps you from resting, that place that has you struggling, that place that has you worn down, that place that's got you so stressed, the place that got you full of all that anxiety, this doubt and this fear, the place of uncertainty of your salvation, the boat of sin. Jesus says, come to me. Come. All. It's not Larry, just Larry, it's all, come. He said, come to me. Step out of that boat. Step out of that fear and come to me. That's what Jesus is saying. And trust me when I tell you, the first step is the hardest. Anybody know what I mean? Amen, amen, amen. Thank you. Good Lord. The first step is the hardest. But the second, third, fourth, and fifth, they get easier. Amen. But here's the thing about that. You've got to keep stepping. You got to keep stepping. Don't do what Peter did. Look what Peter did, verse 30. But when he, but, there's that word but, circle it, promise warning. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid of me and beginning to sink. Peter began to sink because he took his eyes off Jesus, maybe even for a split second. And he began to sink, and he stopped stepping forward and began to look back at the struggle. He began to look back at the storm, and he began to sink. Listen to me, friends. If you want to stay above water, keep stepping forward towards Jesus and don't look back. You need to leave your fear behind. You need to leave it behind you, because when Jesus bids you to come, he's got you. He's got you. Not your ability, not your resources, his. He's got you. So watch. So stop looking at the storm and stay focused on Jesus. And listen to me, friends. There will be storms, guaranteed. Not if, but when. There will be storms, guaranteed. And when they happen, we should not just stay on the boat. We shouldn't just stay on the boat and feel sorry for ourselves. Instead, we should lose our pride and reach to Jesus and cry out, Lord, save me. And then move forward, proceed forward, move forward, and take Jesus by the hand. And don't let go. Don't look back. Look at verse 31. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? I told you to come. I told you to come. Oh, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. The wind ceased. The storm was over. Where Jesus is, peace abounds. The wind ceased, the storm was over. When Peter took a hold of Jesus, calmness came. Watch, he was the only one that stepped out of the boat. And even in his doubt, Jesus caught a hold of him and pulled him up, and calmness came. Now watch, I want you to see this. Calmness came not just for Peter, but it came for everybody in the boat. Peace came for everybody that was with him. Know Jesus, K-N-O-W, no fear. That's peace, my friends. When Jesus is with you, peace abounds. Does that mean that storms won't come? Does that mean the storms are all over in your lifetime? No. That's not what that means, but I wish that were the case. Amen. Unfortunately, storms will come, but you don't have to fear them alone. Remember, Jesus says, I'm going to go, but I'm going to leave with you a helper and a friend. Right? You're not alone. Who lives in you? The Holy Spirit. Storms are going to come. But, there's that word, warning or a promise, but the Holy Spirit lives in you. But life is still hard, amen? Is it hard at times, isn't it? I don't need to tell you all that. I already know the answer. It's rhetorical. It seems that one storm settles and another one rolls right in, right after it. That's life. However, if you step out in faith, reach out your hand, and you grab onto Jesus, he will give you peace. You say, how? I don't know. It surpasses all of my understanding. It surpasses all my understanding, but he will give you peace in the storm and through the storm. and watch not a world peace. Oh, we're watching it all over the news. When they say peace, peace, and there is no peace, what's going to happen, Steve? The rapture. Not world peace. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about an in your core peace. In your soul peace. A peace in your soul, no matter what's going on around you, because even though you're in a storm, you know that God is working. You have to trust that God is working. For all things work for the good of those who love him. Do you love him? Listen to me, Christians, brothers and sisters. If you're in the midst of a storm, bring it to him. Bring it to him and lay it here at the altar. Step out from where you are and step toward Jesus. Call up on him to help you. Listen to me. He will help you. He will. I can't say that on my authority. I'm saying it on his authority that he says he will. He will help you. And for those of you who are in the storm of life and you don't have the faith to step out, you know, there was only one that had the faith to step out. The rest of them stayed in the boat. For those of you who are in the storm and you don't have the faith to step out, this morning I encourage you to not be afraid. Step out and come to Jesus. He's telling you, come. Listen, I get it. It's hard, and I know that. I know the first step is the hardest, but trust me, everyone after that will get easier and easier because you're not going to be alone anymore. Come to Jesus. He bids you to come, all of you, to come. Climb out of the boat. Climb out of the fear. Jesus will save you, so come. If you come, listen, you say, I don't know what to do. You come and grab me by the hand, and I'll lead you to him. I'll introduce you to him. We'll teach you about him, but you've got to come. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, again, look, come to me, all you. All of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you peace. The opposite of fear, right? Peace. He says to you, come. How many of you are going to get out of the boat? How many of you are going to respond? How many are you going to come? He says, come to him, friends, and he will give you rest in the storm. He'll give you rest in a storm. You know what that means? That in the midst of the storm, that no matter what's taking place, you can have joy. Here, let me say it another way. That no matter where you're at or what you're going through in the midst of the storm, it can be well with your soul. Who wants that? Who wants that? Who wants it to be well with your soul? Then get out of the boat, right? Get out of the boat. You respond, and he will respond to you. So keep reaching for his hand. Keep reaching for him, and don't let your faith sink. And focus on Jesus and not on the world around you. The question is, will you come? And I say that, why? Because Jesus says, all are welcome to come unto me. Will you come so that it'll be well with your soul? Father God, thank you for this word today. Thank you, Father, that you have an answer for our fears, that you have overcome every doubt of this world because you rose from the grave, that you are a living God, not someone buried in a tomb somewhere, but you arose and you are well, you are alive, you are active, and you are at the right hand of God the Father, Lord Jesus, and you tell us to come to you, and all of us who are laden and heavy burdened and heavy laden. And so, Father, we as your people come to you. People who need faith want to come to you, who need to believe in you, they want to come to you. Lord, give them the strength, bind the fear that Satan's trying to put near them, and let them come unto you simply by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Pastor, we all please stand.
It's not well with your soul, please don't leave here. Come and talk to me, your Sunday school teacher, or Steve, whoever, but come and see. Don't leave here if it's not well, amen? And listen, as you do leave here, know this, you're not alone. You don't have to face that world out there alone. That you have a God that is willing to fight for you and with you, amen? And listen, we're just back up. Right? We're just a backup. But we got you. We love you and we care about you. So don't go out there. Don't live in fear. Live in the joy of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Don't forget there's a meeting downstairs for the missions team, or if you want to be a part of the missions involved in that, please meet downstairs in the fellowship hall directly following this. The longer you wait to get there, the longer we got to be here. Just saying. All right? Love you guys. You're dismissed. Thank you.